February 15th, 2023. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating on leave a rating and review. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. You also can listen to us 24/7 on our online radio. And you can go to our website, thesportscast.net. You could also get our app, The Sportscast, for iOS. Soccer is back on The Sportscast. It's been a few weeks since, actually about a month and a half since the World Cup ended. And we're back at it. Champions League in February. You can't go much. Messi's still around. Mbappe's still around. And another person who's around, Andrew Evans, a Burnley supporter, hopefully seeing Burnley next season in the Premier League. Welcome back to The Sportscast.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be back.
So before we begin, how did you enjoy the Winter World Cup?
Oh, nice. I can hardly remember it. So much has happened. Well,
that's the world of football.
You know what? It didn't really bother me too much being at that time of year. I mean, it was a bit of an oddity, but there were some great games. There was some outstanding players. And I thought the final was probably the best I've ever seen, actually. Finals tend to be a bit disappointing in World Cups, I think, historically. But this one was good.
It was delivered nicely. Well, let's first start with today's big match, bigger than the Champions League matches. Man City is on top of the Premier League. They defeated Arsenal 3-1, goals by Grealish, Kevin De Bruyne, and of course, Erling Haaland. Andrew, we got a new leader, but a very familiar one.
Yep. Not really surprised in a way. I mean, I think this game was going to tell you a lot about where things are going. And you should never kind of judge a season on a game, but this was a key game. Just a lot going on in the background, I think, with City's, potential charges coming against them. It seems like they found a new resolve. And I think Arsenal, I always felt like they would, will shake, not because they're not a great team. They're a phenomenal team. They've come a long way. But I think that run they were on in the first half of the season was always going to be tough to repeat. And it's appearing that way at the moment, isn't it, with the last three results for them. I know they'll complain about the Brentford game, but Brentford played well in that game, deserved a point. But I probably wouldn't have tipped City to go there and win today. I expected maybe a tie. So that's a really, really – it's a statement, isn't it? And you would think they'll go on from here now and finish the job.
Yeah. I thought Arsenal was eventually going to fall or drop points. And I actually thought it was going to be February. I really did.
Yeah.
The start of the Champions League. And I think Man City is peaking at the right time. We don't know yet because it's still tied. And they're leading by goal difference. But I feel bad for Arsenal because I know Liverpool was in this same position last year. And now Arsenal is going to chase now behind Man City, and hopefully Man City will drop points.
Mm. Well, I think they would have had to do kind of what Liverpool and City have been doing in recent years to pull this off. And hey, their point ratio after halfway was about where it needed to be to do that. But yeah, same as you. And I don't want to compare it to the Arsenal of old, but you know, there was a lot of seasons under Wenger after 2004. When they were in that kind of position, they were around the top, and it was usually February or March they got a few bad results. This is a different team, but it's tough. Let's face it, it's really, really tough to close it out. They've come a long way very quickly. Probably surprised a lot of people that they've challenged, well, more than challenged. I still think they'll finish top two, though.
I believe so. I think what Arteta has done these past couple years, and the ownership believing in Arteta has been panning out. Now, I have been hearing a lot of excuses from Arsenal supporters saying that it's Gabriel Jesus not being around, and Nick Keita, whatever his name is, I forgot how to pronounce it, he's not the goal scorer Arsenal needs. They should have got a striker in the transfer window. But do you think Jesus would have made a difference in this past couple of weeks?
I don't know. My thought on Jesus when he was at City was he was never the leader of the line who was going to carry you to the championship. But he was a good player in a great team, is surrounded by superstars. For him to be the leader, I was always concerned about how that would pan out for them. But he was kind of proving me wrong until he got injured. So it's hard to tell. It could be. But I would still say no, because I just don't think he's got the character of leadership that you really need to be that kind of top scorer and lead them to a title. Hey, we love this game, don't we? Because it proves us wrong. That's part of why we like it. But that's just my sense. I don't think he's good enough character-wise for that. I've always felt there's a bit of a flaw there with Jesus, even though he's a phenomenal striker and a great, you know, great finisher. So, I mean, they'll say that. But Nketiah's been doing better than I expected, actually. But he's still young, isn't he? He's still got a lot of room to grow. Saka, to me, has been the star for them. He's been absolutely immense, as has Odegaard. Those two, as good as anyone in the City team for me this season. And Saliba at the back. Yeah, it's just games keep coming thick and fast, and now they're under a big test. And it's not over, but they're going to really have to switch back on the burners and get some wins and go and make a statement now at the Etihad.
Yeah, they play soon in the next couple of weeks. Arsenal plays Aston Villa, I believe, coming up next.
Away, which is a tough game. Because, you know, Villa have found a little bit of form off and on, haven't they? Emery's a tough coach. He'll be wanting to put one over on Arsenal.
Great comeback by Emery. He did not do well last time around in the Premier League, but looks like what he said, he's more prepared this time around, and he really wants to make a big statement. Emery used to coach Arsenal a couple years ago. Now he's with Villa. And of course, before him was Steven Gerrard at Aston Villa. Didn't really work out. But I'm sure Gerrard is rumored for Southampton, I believe. Jesse Marsh this morning, the news outlets were saying that they did not come agreement to the contract. Jesse Marsh wanted like a much longer term contract. Southampton was just, you know, a couple months hard contract. But there was another chance for the American coach. Some say he didn't do well with Leeds. He only put him up by one spot. But what's your thoughts over Jesse Marsh and, you know, and maybe coaching in the future in the Premier League?
So the Southampton thing isn't working out. Is that what you said?
Yeah, like they had a contract. They were having discussions with Southampton this week, but the talks did not go through because of the agreement of the contract terms.
Okay.
And how long he should be there. I guess he wanted a few years or a whole season, but what they wanted was short term.
Yeah. I the last I heard is, you know, it looked a strong possibility. Well, I mean, I think it would take a lot of guts for him to go right back into another job, especially with Southampton, because I'm just looking at the table here. They're not out of it, but they're not showing great signs. He did a good job at Leeds to me last year because I thought they were going down and he kept them up. I don't think they've been bad to watch this year. I think they've played all right in games I've seen, but they're 17th and they're still where they were last year. The strange thing with sacking him was like 3 days before they signed McKinney. That was his target. Yeah. And then they've allowed him to bring McKinney in and then they've sacked him. I don't even think they played a game in between those two. I might be wrong. But that in itself is just crazy. And I did hear from a Leeds fan recently, which is saying that they don't feel like anyone's really in charge at the club. I don't think they were too disappointed to see Marsh go. But somebody else was saying that he got fired at Leipzig, now at Leeds, and Southampton, if he wouldn't keep him up, will probably be another firing. So it's a lot of three firings pretty close together for him. It's not good for his resume. But personally, I don't think he's done too badly, actually. And I like some of the plays he brought in there.
Yeah.
Leeds expect better. So, I mean, they went and sold Phillips last year to City, and he's been sitting on City's bench. You know, I mean, somebody's making those decisions. So on the one hand, if you sell your best players, do you really deserve to move up the table?
Correct. He is also rumored to manage the U.S. U.S. men's national team, which is a vacant position right now.
I've heard that too.
Greg Berhalter is still in the, is still under consideration, but there was a turmoil between him and Gio Reyna's parents, Claudio Reyna, and the mother, over him not starting. Claudio Reyna and Greg Berhalter went to high school together, so there is some friction between those two. But if I was a betting man and lived in Vegas, I would not bet on Greg Berhalter to manage again. But I think Jesse Marsh would be a good coach for that team, young talent. I think the Premier League, good shot this week with Southampton, but I don't think I don't think he'll come back around.
I mean, I think it'd be better for his career to maybe come to the MLS and work for a year and have some success before he gets an international job. But I mean, yeah, he's probably one of the favorites, right?
One of the favorites, yeah, definitely. They won't decide till the end of summer, around August, September. So I hope they pick him. That's my choice, if you ask me, if they hired my consulting services. But they're not going to ask me, probably. So, okay. So let's look at the table. Man City's number one, 2 Arsenal, 3 Man United, 4 Newcastle, 5 Tottenham, Brighton number 6, Fulham 7, Brentford 8th, 9th Liverpool, 10th Chelsea. The one that stands out, and we talked about this offline, is Liverpool. Liverpool has gone through a bad streak. They signed Gakpo in the transfer window, but the midfield looks tiring. There's been talk about Klopp maybe having let him go. Some people say, no, keep him, because he's done so much for the club itself. But what's your thoughts on Liverpool's performance this season so far?
Well, the only thing on that table that is equally maybe shocking is Chelsea, but I'd say Liverpool's the most shocking position. I tipped them to win the league this year based on how good Klopp's been with players he's brought in. I don't know. I don't know the total reason. I think you're hitting on something with the midfield, but I think he's such a manager who believes in his system. And I'm not quite sure that the players he's got right now to play his system, it's working anymore. The only thing, observing this, watching football for years and seeing media reactions, I'm just surprised he doesn't seem to be under any pressure. Because, like, if you think last season, Man United was crisis. You could say Man United without crisis in the same sentence. And they were doing better than Liverpool are doing now. This season, I think United are the story, actually. I think I had never expected them to be doing this well. But I certainly didn't expect Liverpool to be doing this badly. It's just interesting to me. I mean, like, Potter's under pressure at Chelsea. But you don't hear Klopp. So it's just got to be the fact that they've had these immense seasons and they're very loyal to him. There's nothing else to it. Because I've watched it for a long time. You remember back in the day of Alex Ferguson, I think his worst ever finish was third.
Wow.
And if United got to third, it's Fergie's lost the magic. He hasn't got long left. You know, he can't keep this up. And he would reinvent a couple of times, make a new team. But It's just surprising me the standard that Liverpool are held in, because Chelsea in 10th is not acceptable. Liverpool in 9th is not acceptable, but it's just not a big issue. And I just find that quite strange. I think Guardiola would be under pressure if City weren't challenging for the title. So not that I want to see managers get fired. I don't love that whole thing, but it's just interesting the way it's being handled.
Yeah, Liverpool beat Everton 2-0, which people say that's not much to say. That's not much of a good, I mean, anyone could beat Everton, even though Everton beat Arsenal last week. But they do say that Liverpool has the roster on paper that could spark.
They've got this kid, haven't they, in midfield that they're talking about now. I think he played last night. Is he? He's like 18, pretty young.
He's from Spain.
I believe so.
Yeah, Barrage. I forget his name, but I'll look that up on the FOTMob platform.
I think there's, I mean, there's a lot of other stuff. It's just, it's funny to me that, because, you know, you pick up on some of the British papers as well. There's not the same analysis seems to be getting done on whatever's gone wrong at Liverpool this year. And you know what, Santi, they could finish fourth. They could get on a run. Interesting game on Saturday. I think they're playing at Newcastle, who I feel is starting just to wobble a touch, a bit like Arsenal. And they're still unbeaten at home, Newcastle. Be interesting to see what happens there. I could actually see Liverpool. If Liverpool are going to start to come back, they'll go to Newcastle and win that game. And that wouldn't surprise me. I don't know what it is. I think the big miss is, obviously, then Mane, huge loss. Nunes, huge disappointment. And the guy for me they haven't replaced, though, is Wijnaldum.
Yeah, that's not been talked about much either.
If you want to go back and watch a game that I think was just historic, was when you remember the game when they played Barcelona and beat them 4-0 second leg.
Champions League.
Yeah, it was one of the most, to me, it was one of the most incredible team performances I've ever seen. And it was all about what Liverpool did when they didn't have the ball. And they stopped Messi, they stopped the whole train. They were incredible that night. But the system that they had there was almost impossible to play against. But the key players, I think, they're all key. They're all doing their role. But the key players were like Wijnaldum, even Milner. Obviously, he's getting old. Henderson had a great World Cup, but he's not been playing great for Liverpool. And I thought the buy of Gakpo was a panic. I just don't understand why they made that trade at all.
I like that signing. The only good sample size that I saw and people have been talking about, he only had a good World Cup performance. In his previous club, people were saying there's not much from him that we've seen.
No, it was a bit of a fluke. I mean, they had a very weak group, and he scored one goal in each game. Liverpool. I think Liverpool have been getting into this competition temptation where they're trying to take players off Man U, and I think agents are involved, and things get talked up. Gakpo, one goal in eight games, a tap in against Everton. It's been very disappointing, and it might come right for him. But when I think of other Klopp signings, they've just come straight in. And I mean, Mane was just one of the best signings of the last, probably Premier League history. And Gakpo looks like a bit of a dud to me.
I would say Luis Diaz might be after Sadio Mane, I would say.
What's that?
Luis Diaz.
Yeah, I mean, he was phenomenal last year, but I'm not seeing it yet this year. I think he's just coming back, isn't he?
He's injured. He'll be back till March or April.
Okay. I thought I saw his name on the bench the other day, but yeah. Yeah, but injuries come and go for every team. Every team's struggling with injuries at different points. Liverpool tend to struggle after they've had a season like last year. I remember the title season the next year, they had a problem keeping their players fit. And I think that's part of Klopp's system, though. It works, but players get injured after a period of time. And in the form of Alexander-Arnold, I mean, it's almost Harry Maguire-esque, isn't it? How he has just disappeared. Is it? He's not a great defender, though, is he?
No, not the best defender. And you know, to your point, they had a great season a year ago. You know, they're competing for four titles. They lost to the Champions League finale against Real Madrid. They won the FA Cup, I believe.
They won both the cups on PKs, didn't they?
EFL Cup and FA Cup, and they were 2 points shy away from winning the league. So you can only do so much in England. You know, it's very tiring.
Well, when we talked at the beginning of the season, I mean, I was basically going off mainly off the signings that Klopp had made that I thought would. I probably should have done more research, but I was hearing Nunes was the guy. And I just thought City would be the tired team. And City would probably have to rebuild their system to fit in Haaland, which they have had to do. And it has cost them points. I mean, you probably heard the stat. Their goals are about the same as last year without Haaland. They're scoring the same goals, but Haaland's getting so many. So they've switched their system to fit Haaland. And it's probably cost them some points. They're not quite at the levels they've been. But it could still be enough this year for them to win it.
We'll see what happens. Another team we brought up, Chelsea, 10th spot. Graham Potter, coach about a couple months ago, took over Tuchel. Todd Boehly, new owner, spent a record $125 million, the most in Premier League history. They bought João Felix, and they got a couple more players. Enzo Fernandez was probably the biggest one, and a couple more, a couple of French players here and there. But is Potter getting the pressure? I'm feeling it a little bit now. I mean, they lost against Dortmund today, 1-0. They tied 1-1 this past weekend. Is Chelsea in a different pressure than Liverpool?
Yes, but that's the nature of the clubs. I mean, Chelsea don't let managers, they don't give managers enough time historically. It's a little different with Liverpool because, like I was saying, I think Klopp is just such a, the connection with him and the fans is, I don't think Chelsea maybe had that with Mourinho way back, but they've had a lot of coaches. They've let him go too quick. I don't like their model. I don't like how they do it. And I actually hope they give Potter more time because I think he's a great coach. But I'm not sure he's going to get that time. You could wake up one day and he's been fired. And it's probably coming close. I would think before the end of the season, if they don't get into a nice run of form, if they go out the Champions League, I would expect he'll get fired.
Do you think Todd Boehly is a little bit more ambitious than Roman?
I don't think he's more ambitious. I think Roman was about as ambitious as you could get, really, because he was one of the – he kind of took it to another level with the spending when he came in. But, yeah, I think he's very ambitious. I'm not so sure he knows what he's doing sometimes.
He did recommend a Premier League All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean – but from what I'm hearing, the fans quite like him. He's quite engaging. You know, he's quite progressive in some good ways. So to see where it all goes. I mean, what he's done with this transfer thing is nothing illegal. He's just stretched out these contracts to like 8 years, which is crazy. And it could really backfire on them. Let's say one of those guys gets a bad injury or just doesn't perform. You can stick with them for 8 years. But you know, he's not breaking the rules. He's trying to set a new way of doing it. And the others are going to have to keep up. If it works well, everyone's going to say, well done.
Speaking
of, I like the look of Fernandez, actually.
Enzo?
Yeah, I think he's a pretty top player. He's going to be good.
Was he one of your favorite Argentinian players during the World Cup?
No, I didn't. I'm not saying I didn't notice him, but I was kind of wondering why they spent so much, but I have watched a little bit of their game since he's come. He's got an unbelievable passing range and touch. I think he's a star, actually.
We'll see if that translates in Chelsea. A lot of stars there. And before we go, I have to bring up Christian Pulisic. Tough spot right now. The roster is pretty packed, pretty stacked. He's the American, if no one knows about him. Rumored that he might be shipped out. I heard Todd Boehly doesn't want him to be shipped out because he brings a lot of American fans, supporters in the Chelsea club. Your thoughts, is Pulisic out of place there? Should he go to a smaller club or to a different club?
I think so, yeah. I'm not really following like how much he's playing at the moment, how many minutes he's getting, but I would have liked to see him move on. There was rumors of United interested in him, and I was hoping that would come off. I think it'd be a better fit for him. I like to see him under Ten Hag, something like that. I think he can get lost to Chelsea. They've got a pretty deep squad, haven't they? Yeah, I just don't like seeing great players like Phillips at Man City just never plays. You know, and what difference he would have made to Leeds this year. I understand they want the money, but I don't understand why in their prime time they're missing so much football. For me, he should move on for his own ambition. He should take a pay cut and go somewhere else so he can play.
Yeah, playing time is a big issue. You know, hey, flattered to be in Chelsea, but you need to have playing time. You know, good for him, also good for the U.S. Team. All right, let's go
to the World Cup. How good he is! I mean, it's not like he hasn't proven himself on that stage. You know. He clearly plays at that level when he's in the U.S. team. And he proved that he's also a leader. So, yeah, he needs to move on.
Yeah, for sure move on. Newcastle's been rumored lately.
Wouldn't be a bad move either.
Yeah, that too. Atletico Madrid has been rumored lately, you know, but you know how these rumors are in Europe. They go everywhere the next couple of months. So never seen anything like that. Usually I don't hear rumors like that in like the NFL. That thing is just.
Well, he's been there. He's been at Chelsea for at least, what, four seasons of this?
Yeah, three to four seasons.
It feels like it.
Yeah.
Three or four. I remember he scored a hat trick at Burnley. It's got to be 3 years ago.
Yeah. And in that game, he scored a hat trick in Burnley. Interesting.
Yeah, it might be his only hat trick, but he started. And that was when he was in the best form at Chelsea, but he wasn't always starting. And he started and scored three. I mean, it was unbelievable. All right. It was against Burnley, but yeah.
Too bad.
wouldn't happen against Burnley now, the new Burnley.
Which we'll get to it towards the end of the show and what and how they're doing in the championship so far. One last thing before we move on from Chelsea. I do like the signing of Mudryk from Ukraine. I think it looks a very promising player. And João Félix, I think, is the best signing of the transfer window. And they're keeping Hakim Ziyech. Apparently, PSG didn't do the paperwork to get him. And of course, you got Raheem Sterling injured. But, you know, this, you know, just looking at the squad is so stacked. All right. Let's move on in the table review before we get into the Man City issues. Brentford, Tony, doing fantastic. Underrated player. Too bad England didn't take him to the World Cup.
Yep. Yeah, he's in my fantasy team as well. And I don't think I've dropped him all season, except for, you know, he was injured for a few games. And they've only lost four games. I think this guy, the coach there, is just a tactical genius. Absolutely incredible. Incredible. And then another signing of the season, have to say it with my Burnley hat, is Ben Mee. He's been immense in big games, like against the bigger teams. He's been absolutely immense. He scored against United. He scored against Liverpool. Well, Liverpool aren't the top team anymore, but you know what I'm saying.
Anyone could score against Liverpool.
Pre-transfer, and he's, you know, well into his 30s. But what a great coach. Just has picked up whatever they and Brighton are doing. I mean, this is why, you know, we talk about the high dollar, high money signings and transfer. And you look at what Brighton have done. And then Brighton have sold these guys on then for huge money. But there's players out there that the big clubs just aren't. I don't know whether they're lazy or they don't really scout at that level or what happens, but they're just buying people on from these teams. But look, Brighton in sixth. They must have brought in 10, 15 players in the last 5 years who have ended up either they're doing really well, like this Matoma guy in March, or they've sold them on, like Trossard, Ben White. Absolutely fantastic club. And it's good to see that this is still possible, you know, for Brentford and for Brighton, that they can find players and bring them up and not just compete, but that they're beating top four teams all the time.
Yeah, Brighton's doing fantastic. Fulham having a great, fantastic season. Tim Ream, Willian, great signing, had a great goal this past weekend. Anthony Robinson, I've been naming just American players, but this Fulham team with Mitrovic, promising team. Think about it. They just got promoted this past year, and they're, who knows, they might make it to Europa.
Yeah, and a coach who's, you know, had a mixed record. He's obviously a great coach, but he's had some bad experiences. Got the sack at Everton, another manager who didn't make it at Everton. I think he was at Hull before that, but he's done a great job at Fulham. Look, he's back. He's proven himself that over 10 years, he's a good coach, and he's adapted to difficult situations, learned from them, and gone on and done this with Fulham. So, fantastic. And Ream, one of the standout, another standout defender, well in his 30s. What a season 35. He's having.
Yeah, which you're very familiar with them because he's played a lot in the Championship League.
Well, I haven't watched the Championship the last few years. I'm watching it a lot now. But, yeah, I mean, I was aware of him from that. Was he somewhere else before Fulham?
He was at was the team that we'll start with a B. Right next to Birmingham. And it was right next to Birmingham. And kind of missed my mind, but I'll for sure look that up. But yeah, Tim Ream has been a fantastic player. He's playing in his mid-30s. Even Guardiola was like, man, I'd love to have you in your team, but the problem is you're 35.
Yeah.
So he played for Bolton Wanderers.
Bolton, yeah.
Yeah. So,
well, you know, he's probably coming to the game a bit later too, which, you know, can sometimes just give you more longevity. You know, you don't have all those early career injuries and yeah. But I've been actually really surprised generally at his quality this season. Not just in the World Cup, he had a good World Cup, but week in, week out for form.
Absolutely. Craven Cottage, one of my favorite stadiums in London. Brighton McAllister, want to reiterate, having a fantastic time with Argentina, also with Brighton. So it kind of, it did transfer over. I believe McAllister was not in the plans for Argentina for a bit. Towards the end, got him and a big, big part of the Argentina squad that won the World Cup a few months ago. Tottenham not doing well. They lost against Leicester 4-1 this past weekend. That was pretty bad. Conte seems like he might go back to Italy after this season.
Yeah, they're all over the place. And he's going at the end of the season. I think it's already been announced, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I think 90% there.
So, you know, that gives him kind of like a safe pair of hands for the season, I suppose. But he would probably be getting sacked if he wasn't leaving. Very disappointing team. I actually think I tipped them to be a surprise this year, to maybe be a challenger, just because of Conte's record at Chelsea. But I think his way of playing, soccer has just advanced so much in that 5 or 6 years. And it's not going to win you a title anymore. The amount of games that they're just terrible in the first half, then they show up for the second. And they've got quality there. I mean, Kane and Son, they could get into any top European front two, couldn't they? Any team. So disappointed with Tottenham this year.
And just not just because of Conte. I think a lot of it is the ownership, not spending. Andy Levy is pretty tight with his pocket.
Well, they put all that into the ground, and that's always that was a tough thing for Arsenal as well during that era. Yeah, he probably wasn't the right coach for them. They'd have been better going with somebody younger who, you know, understood where all the talent is and could just build a team than doing it the way they have.
Like Potter.
Yeah, maybe Potter. And the amazing thing is with Brighton, they just go in and get this other guy who's doing incredible too.
Yeah, Tottenham definitely a open position that could happen this summer. Newcastle, Eddie Howe, and Almiron. Those are the two names I really look to in Newcastle. Great performance. They're at fourth place right now in the Premier League. I don't know if they can reach top three, but there's some reservation there.
Yeah, and the amazing stat there is the one loss. You know, they're unbeaten at home. They have an amazing defensive record, which is amazing because that was Eddie Howe's biggest issue in his early career. Very attacking, a little bit open at the back. He sorted that out, but I don't know about their squad depth. I think some of the players they bring in are good Premier League players, but probably not top four players. And they haven't spent actually as much money as everyone said they were going to. I'd love to see, I mean, personally, selfishly, I'd love to see Eddie Howe as the next England coach. So I want an English coach for England, and I think he's the best around.
And Gary Southgate will be managing until 2024 Euros. So you would prefer someone new after that? I lost you. No mic. Andy's on mute.
Castle or get let go there. So I don't know how that will all work itself out, but I do like him.
The prestigious English squad national team position. A lot of good talent to work with.
Oh, unbelievable talent. Yeah. And he's shown it. He's shown he's a great coach of players. He's built a good team at Newcastle without spending a ton of money. But I will say this. I don't know they'll finish top four. They're limping along a little bit at the moment. They've had a great season so far, and they've had a great season. It'll be interesting to see what happens in that cup final too, because there's two teams there that need a trophy. Newcastle have waited. I don't know when the last one was. It was back in the early 70s, I think. United could use a trophy for Ten Hag. So it'll be an interesting game. I think Newcastle will go for that, and I think they could actually win it. I don't think it would be an upset. And then the rest of the season, I'm not so sure where they'll end up.
As you said, Man United, Erik ten Hag, new manager for Man United, whole fiasco in the beginning of the season with Cristiano Ronaldo. pretty much pushed himself out with a Piers Morgan interview. Since he's left, Man United has been on a run. Rashford's been connecting. Casemiro's been doing fantastic. They got Weghorst, who hasn't scored yet, but Man United is sitting still in third place. Your thoughts with them this season so far?
Incredible. Yeah, I mean, they had a bad start, and too much was made of that. They didn't give Ten Hag time. I mean, going back to the Liverpool conversation, you know, two games in, they were questioning him, and they had a terrible first half at Brentford. Then they went and beat Liverpool and were outstanding. No one gave him a shot in that game. And from then on, they've just built. I still think they've got a little bit of an issue with squad depth, a bit like Newcastle. I like some of the plays they've got coming through, but I'm not sure they're going to go in. They've really missed Casemiro the last couple of games. Bit of a harsh red card, I thought, but it really shows the difference he's made to that team. And you've probably seen his stats when he was at Real. They hardly lost when he was playing, and that's he's a great asset to them. People question that. I think it was one of the signings of the season, to be honest, if not the signing.
I would say so. Very customers fit in with that system well. He's getting paid more than he was at Real Madrid. And also Fred, fantastic player for Man United. So the Brazil connection is doing fantastic. Rashford, it feels like he's...
Rashford, I was going to say, he also has been all his potential being fulfilled. He's on fire. He's absolutely on fire. He's causing problems. His whole mental attitude just seems so strong at the moment. He's been brilliant to watch. And they've got a lot of other offside players position in there too. They're not had the consistency of Casemiro and Rashford, but I feel like they're just leading the line so well. And one thing I like about Ten Hag is he's positive and he makes changes when they're necessary. He doesn't wait too long. He's never scared to make a decision. And the other kid who I think is an amazing prospect is Garnacho. Has his bad games, but when he's on, he's on. He's really promising, and he's young. He's like, is he 18? Maybe 19.
He's 18 years old, half Spanish, half Argentinian.
Yeah, I've enjoyed watching him too. And I think their defense has improved. I mean, even Maguire, I know my son's a big United fan and he can't stand Harry Maguire, but he didn't have a good game in the last game. He looked shaky. But he's definitely improved this season. And Sabitzer looks good too. That was a great result for them at the weekend when they won at Leeds, because Leeds were probably just edging that game and it looked like a one that United were going to get away. And then they win it 2-0 with two late goals. That's a good sign that something's right in their whole psyche that they could go and do that.
I also say Martial has been having a good season too.
No, he when he's played, but he's not been playing much. He scored a few off the bench. Fernandes has also been. I'd say Fernandes, Rashford, and Casemiro have been key. Fernandes has been back to his best as well.
Luke Shaw had a great match this past weekend.
Who did?
Luke Shaw.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Shaw has been very dependent. De Gea is just amazing, isn't he?
Well, he did have a howler a few weeks ago.
Yeah, like one. You can have one of those this season. It's okay.
I would say that Alisson.
And they're missing Eriksen too. See, that's my concern for them. Somebody was asking me the other day if they could be in the title race, and I just don't think you can think about that, honestly.
And of course, Antony, another Brazilian.
Great off season. And on. He's had some good games. He's actually looked a bit better the last few weeks. I think he got a bit of a lot of criticism for his performance, I think, against Arsenal.
Yeah.
Wingers are like that. If you remember when Ronaldo went to United, he was frustrating for two seasons. And then he just, boy, did he ever hit it. So, not saying Antony's Ronaldo, but you know what I mean.
I hope Ronaldo didn't strain his relationship with Man United, because I do believe he's one of the legends there.
Well, that won't change. But, yeah. I mean, that's a whole – you could do a whole show on that subject. But, honestly, I think he'd become toxic. What was going on last season – he wasn't helping matters either. It was time for him to go.
Yeah. Arsenal, we already covered earlier in the show. Man City is going through not relegation, but they could be relegated. They've been charged with failing to cooperate with the investigation over transfers and money business practices, allegations of breaching relegation surrounded the player, manager contracts, and remuneration declared in their financial accounts. That's what happens when you're dealing with a lot of different transfers, buying players. Worst case scenario, they could be dropped and relegated to the championship, maybe lower. What are your thoughts over this, Andrew?
It's quite a story. I mean, there's supposed to have been over 100 offenses. They already got in trouble with FIFA about their financial fair play a few years ago and just got a big fine, which would be the easiest thing to do, just give them a big fine. But I think it's more serious than that. And I think the Premier League are in a very, very, very tough spot, because if they go back and make this retrospective, what does that say for fans like us who've been watching this league forever? If the last 10 years almost aren't real, right? Oh, well, after we played for those 10 years, actually City didn't win any of those titles. I just don't see how they can go back and do that.
They gave Liverpool the title last year.
Yeah. And it was probably before Guardiola was there, which is why I think he's taking such a tough stance on it. But if they make it, if they punish them once now, which I think is what they probably need to do, they need to hurry up because it's February and City are top again. So.
Losing connection again from Andrew. Hopefully he'll get back going. He froze. Wow. That's not a good sign. Oh, there he is. But no audio from your end. There you are.
Sorry.
It's okay.
No, I was just saying, I think Premier League's in a tough spot, because if they hit them hard now rather than going retrospective, and City are top of the league, so they're going to take the title off them this year, or are they going to take him off them for past years? I don't know how this works out. And I think if they just give him a big fine, it's like a cop-out.
Yeah, and Juventus has been punished this year already. They've been dropped to 15th spot in Serie A, so this is nothing new. We'll see what UEFA. This could take up to 4 years of investigation, so we don't know for sure when this will happen. So, Man City is in under serious a huge serious issue. Anything else before we head on to predictions, Andrew?
No, I mean, I just say for fans, just keep watching the City situation, because it's pretty unique. I mean, UEFA already punished them, right? So this is really a Premier League thing, and how they're going to handle it. It's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out. I don't think there's a smooth ending to this. There is the possibility, the real possibility, that they relegate them.
How low?
Only a division.
Only a division.
Okay. I was hearing from somebody today. They did the same thing to, I know it's rugby, but in rugby union, they did it to Saracens, who are the biggest club, a few years ago. So basically, it sounds like Mancini, the old coach, was being paid by City and then by the company, which is against the rules.
Unbelievable.
Because right. The money that they're spending is supposed to come through revenue. That's the whole point, because they don't want clubs overextending themselves, or really they didn't want a team like City having so much of an advantage financially.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens with Man City. Hopefully they'll get their situation covered, and whatever punishment they get, they deserve. Let's look into what Andrew predicted last year in August. Andrew had Liverpool winning it, then Man City, Chelsea, and Tottenham. He has Bournemouth getting relegated, Brentford, Southampton, which this could be true, Southampton getting relegated. And we'll look into the championship a little later. Your thoughts over your predictions, and what will you change right now?
Well, I mean, Liverpool was such a massive miss. And obviously Chelsea was too. I think Tottenham could still finish top four, funnily enough. So I'll go, I change it. Obviously, Arsenal, to me, are not going to drop out. I think I'll go City, Arsenal, Man U, Tottenham now.
City, Arsenal, and Tottenham? No, Man United.
City, Arsenal, Man U, Tottenham.
Okay, perfect. Tottenham still stays in fourth place. And I had Liverpool winning it, Man City number two, Tottenham three, Chelsea four. So I only had Tottenham as third place. I don't think they're going to stay in that position. My new top four is Man City 1, then Arsenal, then Man United. Then I'm going to say Newcastle.
Yep.
And relegation, Brentford, Nottingham Forest, and Southampton. I don't think Brentford will get relegated. I will probably put, I don't want to say Everton, but it might be Everton.
Yeah, I mean, my Brentford, I don't know what I was smoking, but let's face it, I don't think we really thought much of their chances. And, you know, they had Eriksen, and he left, and he was great for them last year. But fair play. So Bournemouth and Southampton, I'm pretty happy with that. I'd say that, yeah, I'm like you. It's Everton or Leeds. It's going to be the other.
Speaking about Everton, former Burnley manager Sean Hyche is now in Everton. He's been out of a job for at least 8 months or so. Your thoughts, him at Everton, and do you think he'll prosper there?
Well, I'm really happy for him, first of all, because as Burnley fans, we'll always love Sean Dyche for what he did for our club. Wouldn't have expected it would have gone so much better, actually, under Kompany as it has this year. But I was glad he got the shot. I think he is an amazing guy, amazing coach, amazing leader, and maybe needed a chance at a bigger club. So I was really happy for him, really glad he got that first win. Sounding like they had a really poor second half against Liverpool. It's really tough, Santiago, because this season, I think the bottom three is a bit stronger than last year. Not the Bournemouth, Southampton, but the rest of the teams. Wolves are looking better. I like their coach. He's doing a great job. Forest have got out of it. Not out of it, but they're moving up. West Ham have got some good players in their team. Leicester, I just can't see Leicester being in the reckoning. Palace maybe could get dragged into it, but Leeds or Everton. And they were those teams last season as well. It was Burnley, Leeds, and Everton.
It feels more like Leeds, but
Leeds went to the last game and stayed up last year, and we went down. I agree. It probably does feel more like Leeds, especially now they're without a coach. And Everton had gone to die. Choose a safe pair of hands. He kept Burnley up 6 times.
Speaking about Burnley, they are in the second division of England, the Championship League. They're up. They're at 69 points. Sheffield 61, Middlesbrough 54, Luton 50, Sunderland 48, and 47 to Watford. Burnley has some cushion. Do you see them finishing up number one in the Championship?
Well, at this point, it's, yeah, probably. I mean, I actually think Sheffield United are really strong, but I don't know if you saw, they actually lost tonight at home to third place Middlesbrough. And Middlesbrough, under Michael Carrick, ex-Man United, incredible. They look really good today. So we got a big cushion over them. Sheffield United beat us 5-2, but then we went on a 10-game winning run, which ended yesterday with a tie against Watford. It's hard to see how we won't, but the Championship, all I can tell you is it is insane. And if you look at the points between, like,
division,
look at the points between 4th and 14th, it's like 10 points. Anyone can beat anyone, pretty much. It's been like that all season. We keep showing up and we're playing a team who's in 6th, the 5th, and then they drop to 14th within 2 games. It's crazy. So I would say we surely can't blow it now. We're breaking all kinds of records. And Sheffield United are strong, and Middlesbrough looking really good. And then Watford last night looked pretty good. They look like they're all Premier League selves. Didn't deserve to win the game, but they stopped us in a way that no one else has been doing, because our football's been really, really good this season. Incredible. So Sunderland, they're on a great run. Really interesting, this league. And if you don't watch it, you should at least watch a little bit of it, because it's very exciting.
Which is accessible on ESPN Plus.
Accessible. They're showing a lot of games. There's some guys in this division that just should be. I mean, the guy at Coventry, Gyökeres, I think he's called, should have been picked up in the window. I mean, he scored a goal last night. It was just unbelievable. This kid at Middlesbrough, Akpom, great player. I think he's the top scorer in the division. Scored another one tonight. Yeah, I think whoever comes up here, these top three would be really interesting to see how they would do in the Premier League.
The Premier League club should hire you for your consulting services to scout out championship players.
Well, I just find it interesting that they don't seem to look down there. Actually, a lot of the best players in this division are on loan from Premier League clubs. So like Burnley right now, I've got two from Man City, a goalie and a defender who are both world-class. Mattson from Chelsea, who's been sublime all season. Teller from Southampton, and they didn't recall him. He's our top scorer. So, and a lot of teams are doing the same thing. They're getting loan players from the Premier League who are just great at this level.
Burnley's new manager, first-year manager, Vincent Kompany, former Man City and Belgium international player, has been doing fantastic. Your thoughts over his management this season for Burnley?
Well, it just blown us away. I mean, he was at Anderlecht. He went there, player manager for a year. They were in some financial issues. Second season, he got him up to third in the Belgian league and got him to the cup final, and they lost on penalties. We ended up, the rumor was he was coming, but then we got relegated, but he still came. Everyone knows who he is. He was a phenomenal player, captain at Man City. But I wouldn't have dreamt. This is probably the best season we've ever had. We're on target to break all kinds of records. I mean, you know, there's still a third of the season left. But it's just been beyond belief. The football is so good to watch. He's brought in about 16 or 17 players.
That's a good sign.
Five or six of our core Premier League players. And he's brought in players in every position. And I don't think he's made a bad signing.
If they get promoted, he stays with Burnley?
Good question. I mean, I would think so. I mean, my biggest worry has always been Man City. So what's going on there, in a way, is good because Guardiola is nailing his colours to this Man City mast. So hopefully he'll be staying around there for a bit longer. I could see Kompany having loyalty to them if they come knocking. But he seems quite...
quite chill.
He's a high character guy. I feel like he's really, really loving what he's doing there and having a great time.
For sure. He's having a better coaching career more than Thierry Henry and these other player coaches, I would say.
He's clearly got the knack. I mean, to take a team playing that Sean Dyche style to what we're doing in that short of time, the first game of the season, we only won it 1-0 at Huddersfield, but I'm watching it, and it was just hard to believe it was the same team. The football was immense. It's almost like watching Holland in 1974. Players moving positions, Guardiola style in a way. And the amount of times we've been down in games and we've come back at the death, scored a lot of late winners. It's been a fan's dream this season. Still unbeaten at home, the only other team other than Newcastle. It was still unbeaten at home. Yeah. Just hope he keeps on going.
He's only 36 years old.
I know.
He looks older, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, my dream would be if he could stay for 3 or 4 years and establishes in the Premier League. We're still in the FA Cup as well, which is interesting because with that lead, you would think he could risk a little bit and go for the cup. Yeah, so we'll see.
Which is a whole different podcast for that.
Yeah.
More Americans are watching the FA Cup, by the way.
Well, that's because of Wrexham, isn't it?
What are your thoughts over that story?
I haven't watched any of it, and I probably would get into it. There was a series a couple of years ago on Sunderland that was on Netflix, and I did find that pretty entertaining. So where I'm from in England, there's so many good small clubs that you could have picked. And in my mind, I'm always asking, why Wrexham? And it's not that I mind Wrexham, but now they've kind of got this advantage because he's gone in there, which is fine. But they're getting all this publicity, and I must think the other clubs of a similar stature, it must really irk them.
Yeah, and keep in mind, Wrexham is owned by Ryan Reynolds, actor, Hollywood actor, which has brought popularity to America. All right, we're almost out of time, Andrew. Let's look into the predictions for this week. And this weekend, tomorrow, Barcelona plays Manchester United.
Sorry about my light, by the way. It's bugging me as well.
What was that?
I'm sorry about my light.
Oh, it's okay.
It's getting dark.
Man United at Barcelona. Barcelona is number one in La Liga. Man United is on the Spurs. This is the Europa League match. First leg, I believe. What is your prediction?
It's in Barca, right? The first leg?
Correct. At the Nou Camp. Or
Casemiro back?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
If he is, they're winning. If not, they're losing.
I'll go for a draw.
A draw it is, which is totally legal to say. Liverpool and Newcastle. Liverpool has a one-game winning streak. Newcastle with Almiron. Fantastic streak. What's going on?
My shock prediction, and this is what I'm going for across the board. I think Liverpool will win 1-0.
1-0, I'll take it. I'll take
first defeat for Newcastle at home. And yeah.
The next Klopp, what's the difference? I don't know.
Well, I think there'll be a spoiler this weekend. They've had a couple of good away wins. Like they won at Tottenham, and did they win at Villa too?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
West Ham at Tottenham.
Go draw.
Draw it is. They had to come back because they had not a good game against Leicester. 4-1.
Bugging me.
Brendan Rodgers, a mysterious coach. Well, there you have it. Still middle of the season. I call it February. A couple of changes. Our predictions were not. Some of them were close, some of them were not. But we'll definitely keep you guys up to date. Round 16 Champions League will continue this next
Can you just put them up again, those predictions?
You want to put it back? Okay.
Yeah, what did I put for championship? Because I could be 2 out of 3 on that.
Oh, yes, we did not cover the championship. You had Burnley going up. So far, it's good. Then West Brom, then Middlesbrough. Relegated Reading, Stoke, and Rotterdam.
Rotherham, not Rotterdam. But none of those three are going to go down, I don't think. Maybe Rotherham, but I didn't really know the championship at that point, but I'm impressed with my going up, because I think Burnley, Middlesbrough are looking good. West Brom might get playoffs. They've had two managerial changes already, I think, this season, or at least one. Steve Bruce got sacked.
I will say this. If you want to watch the championship, the best time is during the playoffs and the final. It is the most upbeat, expensive game of the year. So, like, of course, whoever wins, it goes to the Premier League. So they got a huge spotlight.
Very high stakes.
Very high stakes. It's played in Wembley Stadium every year in the spring. It's beautiful. It feels like a graduation ceremony.
Really,
it's like you're going to college now.
It's intense. It's intense. We won it in 2009 against Sheffield United, and I went there, and it's very intense. I mean, everything is on like one game.
One match. And that's the only playoff.
There's some good football to watch in that division.
True. It's the best.
Most weeks.
Is the best lower division league in Europe, they say.
Yeah. Well, I've loved it. I've loved being in it and following it, obviously.
Hopefully Burnley will have a good streak in the Premier League. They don't have to worry about the championship much. Andrew, yeah. What is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about, hey, can I have a pepper's pie and a burger?
I don't know. I'm on Twitter and on Facebook, but I'm not all that active. I've been, thinking about doing more of this kind of stuff. Well, I did a few at the start of the season with my son. We're probably going to break into it again, so you'll have me back and I'll share it then.
You're always welcome here on the Sportscast. Of course, we always need some pundits. In America, there's a lack of pundits.
Yeah, okay, well.
It's wearing thin. That. You know, there's CBS, there's Fox, NBC. Now Warner Brothers is pretty much in the game. HBO is. Apple has bought like the whole package of the MLS. So they're thin of commentators here in the States.
So the MLS will be on Apple this year?
Exclusively. You can watch a few games on Fox, but like once a weekend, that's it.
So it's not on the
Peacock
anymore?
No. MLS has been mostly on ESPN these past 15, 20 years.
Yeah.
Apple has eaten up that. And also Apple, I've been hearing rumors they're interested in the Premier League.
Well, there's been talk about them buying United, hasn't there? But I don't think that'll happen.
Also, well, Elon Musk is too.
Yeah, which will be interesting. what was I going to say? I'm interested this season in the MLS because of Ashley Westwood.
Who's that? Sorry about that.
I'm a midfielder from Burnley who's starring for Charlotte FC, which was a coup, I would say. I mean, we were looking forward to him challenging to get back in the team, and he went to Charlotte FC, which is obviously my birthplace, so I'll take a special interest in that one.
Same colors as Charlotte Panthers. No, the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, they got a nice jersey. I really like that. Okay. I really like it.
Well, there you go. You can follow us on thesportscast.net or on Twitter, thesportscast1. We cover Champions League, World Cup. We don't do FA Cup. Not many Americans like it, but we do the best we can when it comes to world football. And, of course, we'll be back in a few weeks. We might have Hal Phillips, who wrote Generation Zero, the story of how U.S. soccer began when they scored 1-0 against Trinidad back in 1989. I don't know if Andy watched that on pay-per-view back then, but it happened. That's when U.S. changed the game. But anyways, I am up for soccer. I'm ready. Liverpool hopefully goes on the streak. Andrews Burnley is going to go on. And any closing words before we head off on this beautiful night?
No, let's talk soon, and let's talk about how the FA Cup could inspire a grassroots explosion of American soccer.
There you have it. And don't forget, the EFL Cup finale is in a few weeks. Man United versus Newcastle.
Absolutely.
Who do you think will win that one?
Well, I just tip in Newcastle because it's just been so long for them to win a cup. And I think on a one-off, they could win that game. I think United is slightly stronger, but there's not much between them. And the last time they played in cup final, United were way superior and beat them back in the 90s. I think that was part of the treble season.
But I would say
I got a feeling for Newcastle to win this one.
I would say Man United wins it by Wegworth's first goal for Manchester United.
He scored in the he's already scored in the League Cup.
Has he?
That's his only goal, but he's not been good, in my opinion.
We'll see about that. Anyways, this was your update. Talk again. Andy, thank you very much for coming.